have we reverse what our goals are? And in the clip, she says, I no longer want to be understood.
Oh, yes.
I want to understand.
St. Francis prayer. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That is the reversal. Yes.
That is the reversal. And,
yeah.
And it was really cool to see it demonstrated there. You can see how much more powerful it is rather than wanting to be understood. I want to understand. And
mm-hmm.
there was such power in that young, beautiful woman's joy that, when she came running to him, when she figured it out, she came running to him to share it. You know, I get it. So it was, mm-hmm. it's really cool. If you get a mm-hmm. chance, go back to it and watch, but you've seen
I
it.
I will. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for sharing. It was a great share.
Thank you.
Who else wants to share? Well, let me ask you this. How are you finding doing the lessons? Are you remembering to do them? Because we've started doing some that they're like, Jesus says, do this on the hour or on the half hour. How are you all having? Don, please go.
Well, I wanted to comment that I had a major breakthrough. I've actually been through the Course in Miracles 5 times. This actually makes 6. The biggest breakthrough that I had, and I'm extremely grateful for, and I even wrote it on the forum. So Jacqueline, Connie, you may have already read it, but I did want to reiterate because I don't know who's maybe been through the course before, maybe the first time ever, but if I can help you not do this for 5 years like I did, or 5 times through, which the course, the lessons, 365 lessons. So of course it takes you a year to get through. Okay. So my attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. What the breakthrough for me was all the other times, this time was different because all the other times I would see the attack thoughts, I would see them in my mind, but how the ego, which I've nicknamed the trickster, I didn't even know this was happening. I had no clue. It's just this recently came in. Is what I had been doing is when an attack thought would come in my mind, I would see it. So I guess that's part of the healing, is seeing it. Because, you know, the thing that I was missing, the missing link, was how I was beating myself up. Like, oh, there you go. You're having it. Look how bad you are. Look at what you just had about your brother or your sister or what, or even yourself. How could you even think that, you know? So I finally got it through my head and heart and everywhere. It was like every cell in my body just got it. That, whoa, wait a minute. That's the ego.
That's great.
That is the ego.
You ain't me.
Myself up for having an attack thought is how he kind of like, or whatever, he snuck in the back door. So that was big for me this week. Big. Because I'm hoping that by sharing this, that you, anyone who's hearing this, can know that please don't let the ego do that to you. Don't let the ego trick you in that way. And you'll get there that much faster.
Thank you, Don. You know, it's funny because any of us who are familiar with the Course knows that it talks about how Holy Spirit can use what the ego made in order to wake you up. So we know that line, but what we don't realize is the ego does the same thing. It tries to take anything designed to get you out of here, if you will, to get you out of your thinking mind and use it against you. And so, yeah, so we double down. So we make the mistakes, certainly it's not unusual to pick up the course and read it as an ego, because, you know, until we move beyond the thinking mind, beyond those patterns of thought, that's where we're coming from. So when we pick up the course and read it, we're like, oh, I'm making that mistake and that one and that one and that one. So I don't think your experience is unusual, but it's yay, great cause for celebration to see it, right? Yeah, and that's just a testament to your willingness. Yeah.
Way to go, Don.
Welcome, Jackie. Nice to see you. And Joanne, hey there. Hey. So we're just taking this opportunity to share from our experiences during the week, from the course book lessons that we covered 22 through 28, and from NTI Luke 5 and 6, and then from that Regina Dawn Akers audio on What I Think I See. So anybody who, here you are.
It's just very helpful because otherwise in my day, I get ridiculously busy. And I'll think about it, but then, you know, it's not like on schedule. So even though my alarm on my phone is going off every half hour, I immediately just, you know, go straight.
But I appreciate what you're saying about a timer. You know, I think that there's some debate about that. It's like you said, you know, it's Jesus said in one of the lessons, the question is, how often will you remember? Like you say, well, I can remember, ding, ding. So, and that can be very helpful. I know I too have done the workbook lessons a number of times, and I can tell you that particularly in the early days, I could go all day long. I go 12 hours without it ever occurring to me. I was doing the lessons from from A Course in Miracles. So it can be really, really helpful to use an alarm. It can also be helpful to do do it the other way, which is to see how often you remember. And yeah, both ways are awesome. So thank you for sharing that. Welcome, Debbie. Good to see you here. Welcome, Linda. All right.
Good to see you, Debbie.
Christine, please. Christina.
Hi, everybody. What I'm finding, I think this is week four now, and I'm finding just the repetition of, you know, watching my thoughts throughout the day, whether it's five times or four times or six times, whatever it is. I use a timer also, like Jackie, when, you know, especially that one day where every 30 minutes. But when we jumped from 1 minute to 2 minutes, I thought, I better start using a timer. So I was actually timing that also. And I'm finding that I just am thinking about it on my own, even when the timer is not going off. So, I think the idea of thinking about what I'm thinking is starting to become more ingrained.
Good.
So it's kind of, I guess it's a lifestyle change and a consciousness change, you know, a shift to just slowly every day do just a little bit over time. And, I'm finding that I'm paying more attention to my thoughts than I used to. Not that I didn't before, but I'm doing it in a very deliberately conscious way. It's just interesting, you know, the waves I go through. Like sometimes I'm at peace and then I have these really harmonious kinds of thoughts. And today I got a little bit irritated about something because I wasn't feeling well. And I just found myself being very irritated. And I'm watching this and I'm watching, you know, how I'm getting irritated at drivers on the road and things like that. And just becoming aware, you know, and of the link, body, mind, emotion. Yeah. So I think it's, for me, it's increased awareness.
Yeah. That's great, Christina. And I think that's what, both A Course in Miracles and this gentle healing program are about. Again, it's consistent, gentle healing. We a while back, we dropped the consistent part, of the title, but it's these taking these baby steps, reprogramming the brain, gently ushering out the old and ushering in the new. So I think you're right on. And, you know, for all of us, I know that there's a time we can look back in the not so distant past and go, man, I would have just been pissed off when that guy pulled in front of me, and then I would have had a bad day, or, you know, whatever the scenario is, where we would have no idea that we were in charge of this, right? That we didn't have to react because something happened in our world. And now we, even if we react, we get to see, I see where I made the choice to be upset about this.
Yeah.
So we are well on our way.
Yeah. And I find then I let it go much quicker. Instead of stewing about something, it's like, oh yeah, look at how I'm thinking. Let that go. And it just passes most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, yeah, because even then we have the choice. Is this something that I want to continue to hang on to?
Yeah, and you know, if I find that I don't want to let go of something, then you know, I'm starting to realize that that's an opportunity for me to really look at that. Well, why am I feeling this way? Why am I holding on to this, whatever it is, resentment, anger, hurt, and to really examine at a deeper level.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would I want to keep that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's just so critical that we know that that we have the choice to keep it or to look at it further or do whatever we need to do in order to get to a spot where we are willing to let it go, because we're beginning to learn we're just doing this to ourselves. If I feel like crap, it's because I've chosen to feel like crap. Hey, Linda, I see you're unmuted. Were you going to speak? Huh? I guess that's a no. And where did Jackie go? She said her computer or audio. Oh, there she is. Y'all, your picture's moved around. Hey. She says her audio is wonky. Okay. Well, maybe I'll get you one of those mics because we'd love to hear from you often. So
I switched to my phone from my computer.
Yeah, your audio is perfect now. All right.
Hey, I wanted to say to Christina that it's very insightful what she was pointing out. And in fact, we're going to go over some of that today in our class here, our group here, about that, those that if you don't have that recognition, then you end up in a loop. So
go ahead, Connie, you were saying?
I was just saying that I think what Christine is talking about is dropping out of that loop. And we're going to talk about some of the loops that we have for models tonight. And you can see how if you don't find a way to drop out of that loop, then it just continues to happen and you become unconscious to it instead of being aware, like Christina was talking about.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, Lulu.
was someone coming in?
You.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so glad. Dawn and everyone, thank you. Thank you for being here. And thank you for sharing that, you know, it's not me. It wasn't you. You just saw it. It was ego. And you were like, you saw it, you know? And so thank you. Cause that is, I could see how that's a time saver. Yeah. Let me share what I wrote on, lesson 22 tips. The tips were killer this week, guys, as always, but thank you. What I see, lesson 22, what I see is a form of vengeance. It was hard to read when I read it. I guess I felt fear and terror that I will not be able to see differently, or maybe I am not willing to see differently. And I did spend some time with what I think, comma, I see. And the drill sergeant came up. Regina's experience, whatever perception, we'll call it, with the drill sergeant. And she said something, and I forget it now. Maybe somebody will remember it, but said, you know, like if you're not advanced, or like the one thing when something is just freaking out, like a drill sergeant, if that's how bad it is. And I did have that experience with somebody from driving from New Jersey all the way out to Arizona. There were about 5 freakouts where I thought I was going to have to leave the car. Like I left the car. I wanted to leave the person. But so that drill sergeant really came in like, wow, that's all that was. It was showing me what my thought is, or what my belief is, as far as belief is, as far as I understand it. And I just want to say that sometimes I forget to celebrate that all that I'm seeing, I'm seeing that I'm not really seeing, and that celebrate good times. Come on, let's celebrate. You know what I'm saying? Because as far as I understand, the truth is pushing this stuff up, and maybe I don't have control of the frames or the sequence, and maybe you could help me with my metaphysics on that. But love is pushing it up in whatever sequence is most helpful to, I want to say, creation. So So I'm seeing that that I want to wake up. I want to wake up, and it's okay to celebrate, like feel like it's so awesome to be able to see it and to see the choice. So thanks for letting me share, y'all.
Thanks, Lulu. It's definitely okay to celebrate. You know, I'm reminded of Bentinho came out here and was one of our speakers at Fall Retreat a couple of years ago. And I asked him a question about A Course in Miracles. And Bentinho Massaro, you all probably know him. Anyway, he said, you know, my experience is Course in Miracles students aren't really very happy people. And I think it's because of what Don talked about a while ago. Yeah. And what we mentioned, and that is, you know, we see this as a list of rules and we're breaking every one of them. We're messing it up. Right. like dag on it. And we just think we have to work harder, but it's absolutely about the celebration, you know, yay, I saw it. I still responded in a way that I might not if I, you know, but yay, I saw it. You know, it is celebrating, like Christina was talking about, just, you know, this consistent feeling. So, yeah, that's awesome. Connie, do you have something you wanted to say?
No, I agree with what you're saying. And it's, you know, it becomes stepping stones. We're going to take the small steps, and we're going to be a lot further down the road than we might think we are, because we're going to have these ahas, and they're going to start become a part of our awakening experience, and for most of us, we're not going to sit on a bench, or wake up in the floor with the cockroach crawling over us and have it immediately. For most of us, it's going to be these steps, but it's that's our process. And I agree with you both wholeheartedly. It should be celebrated.
May I ask a quick question before I pass?
Absolutely.
Do we, as the Son of God, have control over what comes up? What thoughts come up, you know, or what's manifested to be pulled back and seen as not seeing? Do we have control over that?
You mean what comes up as we go through the process, what it is that comes up from inside that we need to look at?
Yeah, whatever experience it might be, whatever perception or...
I don't think so.
All right. That's what I thought.
I mean, because it's going to come up, because it's going to come up in the course of, you know, where we find ourselves and whatever that we have believed and reinforced and continue to cast our attention on, that's what, you know, is going to come up in our experience every day. What we normally do is we just repress that stuff. We're just not going to look at it. We're not going to look at it. You know, we're running on autopilot. We've got all our protective mechanisms in place. But as we begin to see, what we're doing is we're no longer ignoring this normal activity that we participate in every day. So that's where this stuff is going to come up. So no, I don't think, I think it's just going to come. I think we're going to encounter it the way we have always encountered these things. We're just going to then go from there to somewhere else. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And the course would certainly tell us that we don't have control over that. But what we have control over is our choice of how we want to see that, whether we want to see that. Whether we get lazy and just want to see that from the ego's perspective, or we want to, how we want to cast our attention is the way Regina Don Eggers would talk about it. You know, this is the way I've experienced this a million times, but this certainly has contributed in my suffering and not my joy. So there must be another way to experience this. Now I'm moving towards my right mind. And less suffering.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to share? This just feels, we have a half an hour for sharing, but this just feels very, I don't know, good. Feels like the way to go. So if anybody else would like to share, please take this opportunity and do that. And I'll shorten my, what else, the other stuff I was going to do. Yeah, Sue. Hey, Sue.
Oh. Hi. Can you hear me? Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, I was running in and unpacking my groceries, so sorry about that. I caught most of it. Yeah, I don't usually like sharing. It's a little uncomfortable for me. But I'll tell you, this was quite a week. I've been around the course for years, but I've never taken the course in miracles. Kind of on purpose, you know, done a lot of other spiritual work. But, it's been interesting because I had to totally skip one day, and then I got that panic. Oh, how do I catch up 2 days with one? You know, and they seem to be pretty important days. But I really appreciate what you said at the end here, Connie, and yourself. You know, it should be celebrated, because I think just the fact that you can read it and understand it for a second should be a celebration. Yeah. And it all really resonates. And then you have to take it into the world, which is a process in itself. But I'll tell you, it was like today, I have a partner and we speak every morning, or at least we try to. But I was like, today, I was just ready to give it up. I'm like, I'm not doing this for a year. I'm just miserable. And that's not, you know, that's not usually my go-to. So I always like where it winds up, and I always like, I think if it, honestly, full transparency, if it weren't for Regina's tips and your tips and the NTI readings, I don't think I could do it, at least in this format. But I am enjoying it. The journaling's been better, but I put so much pressure on myself. I'm like, okay, 6 times a day, 2 minutes each. And then I think it was yesterday was the best one. You have to do it without setting a timer. I'm like, what are you kidding? You know, I have to set a timer for everything. So it's been a real exercise in just awareness. I mean, who was it that just said, celebrate that you can see? I mean, that's just amazing. So I'm not sure where all this is going. I don't know. We're in week 2. Talk to me in week 50. We'll see.
Well, by the way, we're in week 4.
Okay. See? Told you it's been a week. I wanted to say 5, but I thought I'd be conservative. You know?
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you, too. It's nice to see you. You know, I really appreciate what you said, and I really appreciate this format myself, because I can tell you, having done the lessons in the past, without the benefit of the tips and the additional reading in NTI, and it just seems like it just gets to be such rote, and it's like, okay, yeah, and I'm okay, I did the lesson, you know, without really digging in there and digging deep. And if you're doing it that way, there's not really much point anyway. So I think we are all blessed to have this format. I appreciate that you bringing that up. Connie Sue?
Oh, I agree. I certainly get where you're coming from. I know I had written a tip, and Regina had commented and said, nice tip, Connie. I'm sure you're, this, I don't know how she said it, this will get easier as you get, you know, move into year 3 or something. And I thought, oh my gosh. Because I do have quite an experience writing these tips. I've complained to Jacqueline that the Holy Spirit is going to have to talk a little louder. Because you know, I'm spending quite a bit of time writing them, and but I'm so, when I get one written, and I can, there's just such joy in it, not, you know, and it's not even a pride, and because of the pride is the part I want to let go of, and you know, but I'm really grateful that, I mean, because, you know, sometimes I read these lessons and they're just a blank. Well, what the hell does that mean? How am I going to, I'm not going to be able to explain that. And then, you know, I'll reread whatever it was we're supposed to read, or re-listen to whatever it was we're supposed to listen to, or listen to Regina's tip, or call Jacqueline and say, you know, I'm not getting to this. And, but when I get on the other side of it, when I get it on paper and push that button to send, it is a thrill, and it is, I feel an enrichment, to my experience, to my life, just when it's completed, that's all. So, you know, and then the next one comes up and I think, oh God, I got to start this process again, but it's the same joy when I get completed with that. So I'm just saying the same thing and prolonging what Susan said. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Connie, for sharing. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Christina.
I just wanted to, sort of comment on something Connie said, because I'm glad I don't have to explain these lessons to anyone. And, you know, sometimes I read it and I don't know what the hell it's saying, really, what the heck it's saying. I mean, I just really don't understand. And I, you know, especially in the beginning, it's making more sense now because they're starting to build on previous lessons. But I just lost my train of thought. What's happening to me is that somewhere along the way, and I think it was one in one of this week's lessons, the workbook was talking about seeing the divine in everything. And that's starting to happen to me. And it's not that I didn't know that before, I knew that. But I'm walking around, or at least in the practice sessions, with an awareness of, oh, that's just a lamp. But the divine is in that, or the divine is in whatever it is that I'm looking at in the practice session. So, you know, for me, I can only speak for myself, not understanding doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, I've had those experiences in, you know, graduate school and all too. I didn't understand, and eventually a light bulb goes off. But I'm finding it just goes deeper and deeper. And, you know, I think it really comes to, somebody said somewhere along the way, I think it may have been you, Jackie, about building new neural pathways. So I think it transcends our conscious mind. Mm. You know, we were going into just shifting out of our old neural pathways of limited beliefs into something new. And so, okay, I don't need to understand it. It's okay.
Perfect. Yeah. Wow. Beautifully said, Christina.
Yeah, there are a couple of, I mean, it was one this week, it was talking about attacking our invulnerabilities. And I had so much trouble understanding what it was saying, because when you read the description, there were double negatives in there and writer. I mean, you know, what is this really saying? But I got it after a while. So it's almost like a puzzle sometimes. It's just interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be. And plus, you know, as it's telling us, you know, we're looking through through our filter. And so our filter is going to block our sight. You know, it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer, like you were talking about a while ago, just this stepped process. And at some point, the light bulb goes off. So that's a great analogy. I appreciate you making it. All right. Well, we better get on with this review, I think. Although we've done a great job of reviewing it so far, gang. So let's see what's left. Let's see. So we did Luke 5 and 6. So it's funny. I spent quite a while going back over the tips today, and then I opened up NTI and I went, oh, this is where all the good stuff is. So, but now it's all good. So I'm going to start looking at NTI Luke. Chapter 5, that's on page 134 of NTI. And this is talking about letting go of what you think you know. And we certainly talked about this in our tips. And, you know, I remember back in my professional life, I used to say, you can't teach somebody that thinks they already know. You know, you just can't. In this world or in a spiritual sense or anything else, if I think I know, I really can't be taught. So that's the first step in this is, even though things appear to be a certain way and we think, you know, and we're 50 however old, years old we are and we're accomplished professionally or not, right, or whatever's going on, we think we know. And we have to be willing to realize that we don't know. We know the ego's way of thinking, and we don't know how things really are. Holy Spirit, inner wisdom, knows how things really are. But we have to be willing to give up our way of seeing in order to be given vision. Also in Luke chapter 5, Holy Spirit talks about hatred's going to come up. Self-hatred's going to come up. Doubt's going to come up. Unworthiness is going to come up. And you all may have been experiencing that so far. And if you haven't been experiencing it, you might experience it next week or the next week or the next week. Because, again, as Lulu was helped us point out, you know, we don't know what's going to come up. We don't know when it's going to come up. We don't know when it's going to be right there, and we're gonna confront it. But self-hatred, doubt, and unworthiness will come up. And one of the biggest reasons to talk about this is so that we, when it does come up, we're not going, oh man, I'm screwing this up too. I can't do this. No, it's going to come up because what we've done is we've repressed it. It's down there. So expect it to come up. In fact, Holy Spirit said, hatred is nothing but a desire for love. Hatred is nothing but a desire for love that believes love is absent. So all it is us thinking, oh, you know, I'm never going to get this. You are going to get it. Okay? It's ego that says, you're never going to get this. That's all that's going on there. So just be aware that that's going to come up. Same thing with doubt and unworthiness. They're going to come up, but just know that that's part of this process. Here in the middle of page 135, Holy Spirit says, you are worthy. You are worthy. Do not let doubt tell you that you are not. Feel grateful for your willingness. It will herald all healing for you. That's all it takes, willingness. Just be willing. Just hang in there and be willing. So, at the bottom of that page, basically, Holy Spirit, page 135, Holy Spirit talks to us about being gentle with ourselves. Holy Spirit says, you will catch yourself practicing the old habits, for this has been your way until now. Slipping into old habits does not ruin the new ones. So when you find yourself doing this, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself your attraction to the old by stepping away from the old and stepping into the new. So as soon as you know, no need to double down on ego. Tell yourself how bad you are because you're not getting it. You are getting it. Just like Christina was talking about. One of these days, that light bulb's just going to go poof and come right on. So if you find yourself slipping into old habits, that's fine. Forgive yourself. And when you remember, step into the new habits.
Go
ahead, Connie.
Most of us, I think, are at a point in our process that we could not go back if we wanted to. I mean, we're all hooked.
Yeah.
We all have experienced what some of the religious community would call the calling. We couldn't walk away from this if we wanted.
Yeah, and so so make it easy on yourself, right? If you slip, that's fine. That's fine. That's how it works. You know, I commented on a post that Lulu had made a couple weeks ago. It's like we're learning to play tennis. The first time you get a tennis racket in your hand and get out there on the court, you are not going to be a master tennis player. You're going to miss the ball. You're not going to know how to hold the racket. It's going to take practice. Right? You don't beat yourself up and quit. because you're not great the first day you step onto the tennis court. This is the same thing. Let's see. Judgment, NTI Luke chapter 6 says, judgment is a way of looking at the world. Luke chapter 6 tells us we can't judge because everything that we've assumed is wrong. Everything that we see out there, you know, and remember we went over this last week, everything that we see out there in the world is designed to show us something other than truth. So we want to take all this false evidence and build some kind of case, you know, for us being right. No, you're not right because you've been believing what you've been seeing with these eyes. And that's evidence of what is false.
And, you know, when we give up our judgment, we really are experiencing the forgiveness process when we do that.
Yes.
Because forgiveness says that you believe what your senses say and you're going to react. And in like kind, but what we're learning is that's not necessary because we know that what the world is showing us is not our truth.
Yep. So it's saying so give up your judgment, give your judgment over to me. On page 137, Holy Spirit says to trust and follow me, make no judgments along the way. Be as a little child, wide-eyed and curious, enjoying all that you seem to experience. Trust me to make your judgments for you. Right? So it's like, and you've seen kids when they encounter stuff they've never seen. They're just excited. It's just something new. I mean, that's why you have to like maybe grab a kid's hand or something before they get burned. You know, they just want to see, ooh, look at that glowy red thing, right? So that's all we're being asked to do is just be open and not trust the judgments and the bases of judgments that we've used in the past. I don't know what else I want to say here, if anything. I know. What?
I'm just wondering if you don't have a whole lot more to say, we're going to be pushing that time envelope. So.
I know, and I got so many notes. Shall I see all my notes? I do want to say one thing. Actually a couple. I know, Connie, I apologize to you, but I do want to say this. First of all, I just want to point out in lesson 27, above all else, I want to see. I was shocked when I figured out what this lesson was saying. Well, not when I figured out, when I got it, what this lesson was saying. It's a matter of priorities. I am willing to make vision, the truth, more important than anything else, and trust that that's what I ought to be doing. It's just a matter of priorities. So if you didn't get that when you read the lesson or the tip, you might want to go back and look at that again. It's just a matter of making vision a priority. The other thing that I wanted to say is, and I've got to see if I can find it. Well, it's about a spiritual aspiration, and right this second, I can't seem to find it. There it is. It was in workbook lesson 23. The first step in healing is to want healing. It talks about focusing on a positive goal or spiritual aspiration. It's very, very important that we identify our spiritual aspiration. I want to be only love. I only want to be helpful. I mean, whatever it is, it's important for you to do that so that when you are looking, when you're in the middle of something or looking back at something, you can see what it is that's motivating you. Right. And it's not like, oh, I just don't want to suffer anymore. It's much more helpful to have a positive goal. So if you haven't identified a spiritual aspiration, it would be good for you to begin looking at that and really say, well, I mean, why are you here? Why do you come here every Tuesday night? Why do you write in your journal? Why are you doing these lessons? What is it that motivates you? So if you haven't identified, please do that. We'll be looking at spiritual aspiration throughout. Okay, Connie, you're on, honey.
Okay. Are you all going to be able to put up those, you or Debbie going to be able to put up those?
I'll put them up. Which one you want to see? I'm going to share my screen, but Connie's going to talk. So which one do you want to see, Connie?
Well, let me get started here, and we'll start with nicer dada dadas.
Oh, I'm sorry. I never send you that text today. It's Nisargadatta.
Maharaji.
Nisargadatta Maharaj. Go ahead.
We'll start with the model, and then we'll move into Regina's, and then we'll move into the tiny mad idea. Or there you go.
Wait. Right. I got. There's Nisargadatta.
Okay. So I think somebody was talking to Narsa Saragata and said, was asking what the main point was, and he said, to know that you have projected onto yourself a world of your own imagination based on meaning, based on memories, desires, and fears, and that you have imprisoned yourself in it, and that you needed to break the spell and be free. And then went on to say that the world is mind-made illusions, and from that is where we're kind of come up with this first model. And because the question was asked, well, what does that mean? What does mind-made illusions mean? And this is our first model of he's got his own loop, and it parallels with Regina's loop. And so we'll look at it here, where it says that the mind has an idea. It's decided with that idea, we try and determine whether it's that idea has any meaning for us, has any value or any of importance. If it does, then we have an experience, that if it does, it's manifested and it's an experience. Once we have an experience, that means that makes it all feel like it's real. We think it's really happening because we're having this experience. It's our truth, and then from there we become mesmerized by this experience. We believe it. We continue as if it is real, and we. From there, we just start the loop all over again. Of course, the other side of that loop is to say no, is to say no, that this is not, this idea in our mind is not us, it's not meaningful, or decide not to cast our attention on it, not to give it importance. And if we do that, we're counseled to return to a constant spiritual practice of self-inquiry or spiritual watching or whatever it is that keeps you from participating in what you know is not the truth. And from there, then that idea is given up. It's not seeming it's meaningful, and it just drops. Well, we don't We don't have to participate in it. That was what Jake did in the elevator. It doesn't have to be that quite that dramatic every time, but that's the idea.
Yeah, I really like there, Connie, the notation, that's the end of the idea. The other on the left-hand side of the page where you give belief to it and all that, it's, as you pointed out, is a loop that you just keep cycling through and cycling through. Here, if you decide at any point in this process that it's not meaningful, that's the end of that idea. So you don't keep cycling through that same idea.
Debbie did a great job on this chart, didn't she?
She did. Thank you, Debbie. Debbie's here in the room. Thank you, Sister Debbie. That's great.
Okay, so like I said, we have like three different models of the same idea. So Regina talks about, so we'll look at Regina's spiritual loop, or what she called in her audio, a single quiet thought. And of course we've all heard it. What I think I see, I experience. What I experience, I think. And you can see how that becomes the loop. And this model basically shows that ideas are going to drop in, and when you see them, you decide not to cast your attention on it, and that's the end of that idea. Decide not to play the same routine ball game, get caught up in the same stuff that we typically do by simply deciding not to go there. Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note again, Connie, that you can step out at any point of this loop. I mean, the fact that I've just got the evidence of it just thrown in my face doesn't mean I have to believe it. All that is proof that I've believed it in the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. And the last model is a combination of the tiny mad idea from ACIM and Romans chapter 2. So the tiny mad idea, of course, we've heard, is what would it be like if everything was different than it is? If we decide that this is a meaningful idea, the first judgment, as I think it was called, was the exploration whether this was a meaningful idea. And from that, our entire world was built out of that deciding that things could in fact be different than they are. When we played with that idea, we got the world that we see. And the alternative to that is to notice that everything that is created is still the essence of God. And Romans chapter 2 said if we could just know that, then we could have the creative play alongside the remembrance of truth.
Yeah, I love that, Connie. I love that you've pulled all these together, because we don't tend to think of the tiny mad idea or what we're being told in Romans 2 as a loop, but it's just as that is the loop. It's the same thing being said over and over and over again. Because we are presented with things different than they are, and we're like, look, things are different than the truth. You know, here's the proof of it. So it's again, it's that loop, and I just love that you pulled it together that way, as opposed to the options on the right-hand side of the page, which is to know that what we seem to be experiencing is not the truth. And that indeed everything is still as it was created, in our truth. None of this, you know, conflict and unhappiness and suffering is true. The truth is over here on the right-hand side of the page. And knowing that, like you say, then we have the opportunity to play in this that we've created. and realizing it for what it is, then we can let go of the suffering that we seem to experience when we think that it's real.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah. Does anybody have any questions for Connie about these charts?
I have a question.
Yes, Lulu.
You ask hard questions. I don't know, Lulu. Skip Lulu and go on to somebody else.
All right, so when we look at the right side, notice that everything created. So that means like the world, what we think we see. Is that what is being talked about here? And I don't mean to stump the host, y'all.
No, you're good. You're good. Connie, do you want to address that first? I have something that I want to say, but it's not a direct response to what Lulu has asked, so I'll let you go.
You know, the world, the universe, the cosmos is all still in our mind. So what is creation without form? I'm not sure that I could address that directly, except to say it's still the essence of God. I seem to have separated from myself from that experience in my dream of this reality. but what I'm told is that everything is still the essence of God, that was created by God. I'm a creation of God, not Connie, the body is not what I'm referring to, but I understand that that you know the whole expansion process is a creative process, and here it's being called creative play. I can't say that I know directly of that experience. I probably do, but I'm trying to remember. I'm still in the remembrance of it. So.
Yeah, and what I wanted to share was really the remembrance that there's only one thing going on here, and I think we're going to get into this tomorrow's lesson. Certainly gets into this, and I don't know how much of next week does. I haven't looked that far ahead, frankly, but there's only one thing going on here, right? No matter how it's as if everything that is oneness is a big ball of clay. So no matter how you pull it out and what you make, you know, here's a church, here's a Connie, here's a war, there's one thing going on here. And because there's only one thing going on, everything has to come from that one. Everything, you know, so if you got a ball of Play-Doh or a ball of clay, regardless of what it looks like, it's all clay. So however it shows up, it has to be of the one. So that's the point that's being made here. Notice that everything created is still the essence of God, because you can't have, stuff God created and then something else. No, there's only one thing going on here. Now, we may misperceive what's going on, but there's still only one thing going on here. There's still only this ball of clay. Regardless of what we call it, it's still just this ball of clay. Does that make sense, Lulu?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I have a question.
Yeah, and I can't. I'm gonna. I think I'm gonna come off this screen here, so I can see people. I don't know how.
Actually, I wanted to go back to that first. That first slide.
All right. Let me go back to the Nisargadatta one, right?
Yes.
Okay, let me find it.
Jackie, you have to say it.
What?
I told Jackie.
Sure, Nisargadatta.
Oh, you.
Only because I'm looking at it.
Okay.
Let me see. Is that the one, manifest experience seems real? I'm sorry, Jacqueline, could you go to the second one?
Yeah. Let me find it.
That middle one.
That one?
Yes. So in applying this or understanding the loop, I wanted to think about it. So like, for instance, at work today. So I had a thought about my boss, right? Whom I like. Let me just put that out there first. but just in case he's listening. No. But the thought, this is what happened. It really was kind of a judgment about my opinion about maybe about his leadership style. And so the thought popped in my mind, which was a judgment about it. And understanding, because understanding how what I think, I see what I see, I experience what I experience, I think. I guess I'm wondering about the creation of that, right? Like I had that thought. It was judgmental. And it seems to be something I keep experience over and over and over again with him, in a sense. Does that make sense what I'm saying? And what I'm trying to understand is how to break that. That was my question.
Well, partly, Jacqueline, you're doing it now because you're seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm, exactly. Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like the cartoon where the light bulb comes on. Now we're seeing that. So now we know there's an alternative to that.
Mm-hmm.
These loops kind of show how we just get caught up in it, and we do it, and then we find proof of it, and then we experience it everywhere, and then a similar idea pops in, and then we believe that, and we give that credence, and we give that our attention, and then we have the experiences along those same line of thoughts, and then we have something similar comes in, and it just, you know, we're unconscious to this loop that goes on and on and on and on, and pretty soon you're 65 years old, and this loop has gone on and on and on and on. And then one day we learn that we don't have to do that loop anymore.
Yeah, of course, she's asking the alternative.
Yeah, well, the alternative is, it could be rest, accept, and trust. The alternative could be, let me go back to my workbook lesson today, because I guarantee you anything comes up, your workbook lesson is going to be the answer to it. You could go to your spiritual aspiration. You could call on the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I've done it this way. Show me a different way of perceiving this.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Connie. I think the idea is to step into whatever you step into, and you've offered some excellent alternatives there: rest, accept, and trust. Concentrate on your workbook lesson. Concentrate on your spiritual aspirations. All of those things, it's really the willingness to see that there's an alternative to continuing to stay in the loop. It's a willingness to no longer buy the idea that you're compelled to act in a certain way. You know, it's a dog-eat-dog world. If he doesn't, you know, if I don't get him in line, then he's going to run all over me and da-da-da-da-da-da or whatever it is, right? It's like, regardless of whether you're focusing on the workbook lesson or spiritual aspiration or specifically on rest, accept, and trust, the first thing is to rest the story, to realize you're in the loop and to go, okay, I know that story and I'm not willing to listen to that anymore. And then, so resting the story is critical no matter which way you go, right? And then you can choose what you can just sit with the feelings, because you might feel panicked. Oh my God, if I don't tell him this, then, you know, every day I go to work for the rest of the story, right? So you might feel panic. You might just feel bad because you did, you know, smart off or whatever, you know, not that you did, but whatever you might. So it might be any range of emotions, but you want to just sit with that. You don't, what ego wants you to do to keep you in this loop is it's going to give you some options. You better run back in there and say you were sorry. You better, right? You're going to have all kinds of, and no, we're not doing that. We are resting. We're turning towards our workbook lesson. We're turning towards our spiritual aspiration, or we're just sitting here in our shit. Sorry, Dawn. We're just sitting here in it. And that's okay. We have stepped back from the loop and we're not running to the dictates of, oh my God, you got to do this. You got to do this because you know how the world is. You know how this office is. You know how my boss is. Right?
I appreciate that. That is so helpful to understand it that way. Both Connie and Jacqueline, thank you. Because I was just thinking as you were saying that, like, the lesson was today, above all else, I want to see this or that differently. So thank you. That's very helpful.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. Thank you, Jackie, for sharing the question. Thank you, Connie, for sharing your answer. I'd high five you if you were here.
You too, Jack. And that first one with Naharajadada.
Nisargadatta, but go ahead.
In that model.
You want to see it again? Let me get it up there.
Talks about we see that experience as real. It becomes a mesmerizing spell. So what you could call just becoming unconscious, right? It becomes a mesmerizing spell. So now we unconsciously have these same patterns of thoughts. Oh, you know, men are like that. You know, boss has got to show their ass. You know, whatever it is, right? You know, when we're doing that inquiry work, a lot of it for me was I was able to break that spell. Able to get to the other side of the inquiry by looking at how much I live those cliches, where you just become unconscious to them. I didn't really realize how prevalent they were in my life. So breaking these loops, by not becoming unconscious. Jacqueline, I think you're muted. Dawn, can you unmute her?
Hey!
It was harder to unmute you because you were sharing the screen. I was getting feedback, so I was muting you, and also for the background noise sometimes. So
feel free to mute me whenever, Dawn. It's cool.
I noticed it was difficult for me to unmute you, though, when you're sharing the screen. That's something I just learned.
Oh, we might have been fighting each other. I was hitting unmute, unmute, unmute. but no, Connie, I think you make a great point because, you know, the first step is just pulling back far enough to see that we're buying our own BS, you know, to see that we are caught in the loop, that we're running these stories and these stories are running our life. Yeah.
Exactly. So whenever we're less than anything but joy, whenever we have a problem, it's just a time to step back. However, stepping back is most honest to you. Whatever process gets you there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
Well, does anybody, I'm not sure we have time to go through what we're supposed to go through here. Does anybody have any further comments or questions about what we've been talking about?
I just like to say, when it was saying how we're in creative play with the remembrance of truth, I feel like the awakening process, that's the whole thing. That's the whole kit and caboodle, is remembering the truth of what we are, who we, what we really are. And I remember, you know, because I've been through the course about 5 times now, later on, hope I'm not letting the cat out of the bag, but surprise, surprise, it talks about your creations being love. Anytime, you know, you embody love, because that's ultimately what it says on down the road, is you are that love. But it's so hard for the ego to believe that, because we see all this other stuff. So literally it's trying to peel away all these layers and help us to see all the things that we are not, so we can finally come to the realization of what we truly are. So when we're at creative play, it sounds so like it's this big, huge thing that you can't even imagine. But really, it's just every time you're loving, honoring your truth, even maybe moving towards awakening. So I think it's more simple. It's just really simple what creative play is.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think what the workbook lesson's about, what all this is about, is when we get out of that unconscious model, any one of these models, we get out of an unconscious model, we start dropping the false facade of what we are, and we start living the creative expression of God, which is the love of which we are. So, I think you're
listening. One comment?
Sure. Go ahead, Jay.
It's a part of this particular class, but I just wanted to share on something that Connie was talking about, the loop, about the the thought, the sight, and the experience. What the cool thing for me, and you talked about rest, accept, and trust, the cool thing for me is I can exit. I can catch.
Jay, your audio is really cutting out a lot.
You're frozen, Jay.
At the thing.
Oh, there he goes.
Sorry, Jay, we lost you.
Hey, Jay, we can't hear you. If you want to call in and tell us that same thing, we've got about 10 minutes left. We'd love to hear from you. Okay. Hi, Regina. Welcome. All right.
Jacqueline, you're muted again.
I know. I think it's Dawn. No. No, I muted me and then started talking. So I guess that I will go ahead and read at least beginning of The Happy Learner, which was our other reading for this week. Not that you were supposed to read it for your homework, but we are going to read it in class. So I'll just start reading this. We'll see how far we get. If we don't get it all the way through it, that's fine. You can read it yourself from A Course in Miracles. So here we go. It's by the way, it's a chapter 14, section 2 in the Foundation for Inner Peace version of A Course in Miracles. The Holy Spirit needs a happy learner in whom his mission can be happily accomplished. This goes back, I think, to what Lulu was talking about, right? Celebrate, come on. you who are steadfastly devoted to misery must first recognize that you are miserable and not happy. The Holy Spirit cannot teach without this contrast, for you believe that misery is happiness. This has so confused you that you have undertaken to learn to do what you can never do, believing that unless you learn it, you will not be happy. You do not realize that the foundation on which this most peculiar learning goal depends means absolutely nothing. Yet it may still make sense to you. Have faith in nothing and you will find the treasure that you seek. Yet you will add another burden to your already burdened mind. You will believe that nothing is of value and will value it. A little piece of glass, a speck of dust, a body, or a war are one to you. For if you value one thing made of nothing, you have believed that nothing can be precious and that you can learn how to make the untrue true. So what I read in this is, you know, what we've been talking about, particularly when we were talking about making vision a priority. Above all else, I want to see, because we believe that the goals that we have set for ourselves, that it's going to require those things to make us happy. And, you know, Kelly Barber talked about this when we started out. Not only is it going to make us happy, it's going to make us healthy, it's going to make us safe, all of these things. And we call that happiness. And what we don't realize is that all these goals that we've set for ourselves, in fact, don't bring happiness. Happiness is inherent in what we are. And it's striving for these goals and putting these goals as our priority over the goal of vision. That's what brings us misery, not happiness. And that's part of what the shift that we're being asked to make. okay.
Jacqueline.
Hey, Jacqueline, I'm here.
Okay.
Jay's here.
Okay.
Hey there.
Hey, Jay. Okay. Did you want to share? We had moved on to the next section, Jay. Do you feel like you still want to share?
Well, no, I feel like it's out of sync now, but, I just, a quick point was that, what was the cool thing I realized about the loop that Connie was talking about is that at any of those points, whether it's at my thinking, I catch it, I question the thinking, whether I'm seeing it, questioning that, or whether I'm experiencing, I'm questioning that. Because you asked the question, what's the alternate to that loop? And what I realized, and this was the cool thing, is that literally at any of those points, you can come in with a practice or a question, and it interrupts the cycle. So that for me was something that I found reassuring to get out of the cycle. At any of those points, you can question and pop out of it. That was my sharing. So I'll give up the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Jay, for reiterating that point. It's a point well made. Yeah, at any point you can choose to step out of the cycle. No question. Thank you for making the point. So let's see. I don't know this timing thing. But let me read you another paragraph. We'll see if where that gets us, and then we'll give you the homework. This is 14, section 2, the happy learner. The Holy Spirit, seeing where you are, but knowing you are elsewhere, begins his lesson in simplicity with the fundamental teaching that truth is true. Truth is true. This is the hardest lesson you will ever learn, and in the end, the only one. Simplicity is very difficult for twisted minds. Consider all the distortions you have made of nothing, all of the strange forms and feelings and actions and reactions that you have woven out of it. Nothing is so alien to you as the simple truth, and nothing are you less inclined to listen to. The contrast between what is true and what is not is perfectly apparent, yet you do not see it. The simple and the obvious are not apparent to those who would make palaces and royal robes of nothing, believing they are kings with golden crowns because of them. And again, I got to say that it just seems to me that this, I think this whole section teaches the same thing. Let me read you one more from the next section. Let me reach one more thing. To those unhappy learners who would teach themselves nothing and delude themselves into believing that it is not nothing, the Holy Spirit says, with steadfast quietness, the truth is true. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Wow, right? Can you hear that? the truth is true. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is real. And everything beside it is not there. Let me make the one distinction for you that you cannot make but need to learn. Your faith in nothing is deceiving you. Offer your faith to me, and I will place it gently in the holy place where it belongs. You will find no deception there, but only the simple truth. And you will love it because you will understand it. Again, I encourage you to read the rest of that section of A Course in Miracles, The Happy Learner, chapter 14, section 2. I think it's saying the same thing that we looked at all week long. Although our eyes are showing us one thing, although our experience, what we think we've learned is showing us what the world is like, it's not true. Only the truth is true. So again, I encourage you to read that section. So let's look at our homework assignment. Assignment A is workbook lessons 29 through 35. If you're not reading the tips, please be sure to read the tips. You can either subscribe to our daily update on our website, or you can go directly to the website and find the tips there under General Healing Year One yourself. But I think the tips are critical into having a different experience this time around with the Course in Miracles. Combining them with the other materials that we're looking at just really has a way of opening the lesson up and it not just being rote, like we were talking about when we started. So again, that's Course in Miracles workbook lessons 29 through 35. We're going to read NTI Colossians, page 355 through 362. And then homework assignment C, we are going to watch a video by Gary Weber on non-dual, it's a non-dual awakening meditation. You can find it on the General Healing playlist on Awakening Together's YouTube channel. The name of the video is Who Am I? It's by Gary Weber. Who Am I by Gary Weber. And again, you can find that in the General Healing playlist on our YouTube channel.
And Jacqueline, also to make it easy for people, the General Healing playlist is on our website under Gentle Healing. So they'll just see Gentle Healing playlist goes straight to YouTube for them.
That's good to know. Thank you. I didn't know that, Regina. Thank you. And keep journaling. If you haven't been journaling, that's fine, but start now. And we'd love to, it's helpful really to everybody to be able to see your journal entries. So if you will, please post them on the forum. If you have questions, we will answer them. But that's not the only purpose. The purpose is just putting it out there. The rest of us can relate to what's going on with you. You can relate to what's going on with us. And it's just really, really helpful to the whole if you put your journal entries on the forum. So we love you guys, and we'll see you this time next week. Right, Connie?
Yes, and Debbie, I wanted to say thank you for helping me get those models together of the loops. I think seeing them visually like that was very helpful, and I hope you all got as much out of it as Debbie and I did getting those together. So thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Connie. And Donna, if it's okay with you, I'll send those to you. Do you mind posting them with the audio? Awesome. I'll send them to you right now. Okay, everybody. Love you. See you next week. Bye.